contemplation, the experience of the body. Because the body's always here. The mind can go elsewhere. It seems rather quickly and sometimes with alarming enthusiasm. Woof, the mind goes. The Buddha said once, he was a master of metaphor. He says, I cannot think of a metaphor. He could think of a metaphor for everything. He's got some remarkable metaphors. He says, I cannot think of a metaphor for the speed with which a thought arises in the mind. And we're gone if we don't see it. If we blink, we've missed it already. It's gone. We're gone. So we come to the body because the body moves more slowly. Of course, we need to include the mind, but begin somewhere. It's like learning to swim in the shallows. Don't try to learn to swim in the rapids or going over a waterfall. You won't learn much. Maybe you want to work towards that. We start where it's simple, available, possible. Still has its challenges, so it's not like we're taking the easy route. And the body, right here, sitting. If you take a moment to feel your body right now, what's it like for you? And you might suddenly start getting into a meditation posture, but feel it just how it is. Sitting, ready to sit formally, or sitting more casually. Just notice what it's like, warm or cool. Whether you feel connected with it or distant from it. Without judging that, just noticing. If it feels alive and vital, or if it feels kind of dull and sort of lethargic, pleasant to inhabit or not really so. Without assuming it should be one way or the other, because it shouldn't, there isn't some way it's supposed to be, it's just like this. And then starting to consciously establish a posture in which we pay attention to primary elements of feeling, the way we rest on the earth, bottom, on the seat or the cushion or the bench. Contact with the earth, the firmness, solidity underneath us. In that, if you're sitting in a chair, I'd suggest you put your feet on the ground and you sit upright. Now, I know some of the chairs, they're not so tall, and some of you might need something underneath your bottom so that your hips are actually higher than your knees on those chairs, because they're designed for less than full-size people, I guess, in terms of children. Some of them are a little bigger, I see. Not that there's any such thing as a proper-sized person. It can come in all sizes. But useful when sitting that we're grounded. So feet are on the ground or knees are on the ground. If your knees aren't touching the ground, you might want to find something, if you can, and put it under it so it's connected with the ground. If you haven't got something, there's something here if anyone needs it. And then we're kind of in contact with the earth, solid, steady. And then from that, just checking that the pelvis isn't tipping backwards. The pelvis is tipping backwards, the torso has to tip forwards, and everything has to work really hard to stay here. But if the pelvis is just upright, and that's why you want the knees below the hips, because that supports the pelvis to be upright. There's more padding here if anyone needs it. And there's actually a whole mat there if you'd like to sit on it. Please make use of it. Can unfold it, and it's designed for the purpose. So a sense of being on the ground, in contact with the earth. And then, as I said, if the knees are below the pelvis, or at least not above it, it's easier to support the uprightness of the pelvis. It might even want to just tilt ever so slightly forward. So the curve in the lower back is established and naturally supported. You can just notice it there. When the posture is aligned in this way and we're grounded steadily on the earth, gravity brings us into the posture. When we're not, and for me it's often the case that I'm not, so I'm not telling you how you're supposed to do it here, but just what might be possible to develop over time, is that when we find the alignment, gravity actually supports us. And we don't have to work against it. And then the body can relax more deeply in the sitting situation. Some of you are getting some more things. Please do. Best done now. And so then we maybe notice the upright quality. What that's like. We may also notice the movement around us and how we are with that. In case we notice any response to it. To be aware if we start to create an orthodoxy about how it should be. And whether we can return to just how it is. People taking care of themselves right now. It's as good. And so again, just coming into the body, feeling the upright quality of the torso extended, rising up from the ground. Just noticing that, allowing there to be space between the pelvis and the breastbone, sternum. So we're not holding the belly in, and it's not a, we don't have a fashion sort of magazine shoot going on here. No one's going to need to worry about what we look like right now. So we can often tend to hold our belly in because we have some strange cultural idea about the shape of our torso that isn't necessarily in full harmony with the reality of our torso and what actually allows it to feel quite happy. So letting your belly hang out if it wishes to. That actually supports the lower back to do so. And just allowing the shoulders to be relatively open again. Noticing if there's tension around the neck, the head, the face. So far as you can, just softening a little bit. Or just noticing the tension, feeling it, making it conscious and therefore gently inviting it to soften without trying to force it to do so. Allowing the shoulders to gently begin to drop, to be, in a way, received by gravity. Knowing right now you maybe don't need to hold them up. Even if they think they want to do that by themselves, that's okay, let them do it. But feeling their heaviness. And so relaxing while upright and alert. And generally the eyes can be closed. Unless you're very familiar with practicing with your eyes open as your particular form and that serves you, it's okay. Or if you're very drowsy and sleepy, it'll help you stay awake to have your eyes softly half focused, half open, softly focused on the floor in front of you. And becoming aware of the experience of sitting, how your body feels just now. And within that, the experience of what takes place in your body as it breathes in. And breathes out. Becoming sensitive to, intimate with the ripple and flow of sensations that arise and change, that flow and ebb as we breathe in and as we breathe out. And allowing this to be the field of interest and attention for now. Not making this more important or somehow spiritually special, but just using it because it's helpful for now, knowing that ultimately we will and need to include all things in meditation, but it serves us to simplify to begin. And that's what we do. And being aware that we may relate in terms of an image or a describing and concepts of the experience. And that's okay, but it's important that we're in touch with the actual felt experience as the primary referent here. So what is it that you notice in your experience directly that lets you know that your body is sitting right here on the earth, breathing in and breathing out? What's that experience happening right now? Which you can connect with or sense, So you're not trying to narrow tightly in on a particular location or hold on to a particular experience that might be part of that, but being open to the field, the experience of the fluid medium of our body and our life, in fact, that is breathing right now. If you don't feel too much of that, or you haven't done this before, or not quite sure what that might feel like, you may find it useful to place the soft, open palm of your hand on the upper abdomen or just lower chest area of your body. Or even if you've done this a lot and you find it useful anyway, it tends to make, if you gently make contact, soft, open palm, you find the experience more clearly recognizable and contactable. And if you find it useful to do that, you can, but you're absolutely not required to. You may just do it for a little while, or you may do it for longer, as you wish, or not at all. And then just settling into this, being right here. This human being, body, breathing. In. This living body breathing out. Just however it does. Just as it is doing and has been doing our entire life. So not needing to control it or make it be a certain way. But being connected and intimate with it so far as we can. Not a distant observer of it, but a participant. Conscious, mindful, aware, sensitive to this, right here. Just as it is. Coming back to it if you find yourself lost, distracted or in reactivity, lost in thinking. And we will at times find that take place. When you notice that's happening, not pushing away such experience or judging it or yourself. This is what happens. This is why we train. This is why we call it practicing. Because we practice coming back and reconnecting again and again. And simply being awake in this, alert and yet relaxed, simply aware of what is right here. Just as you are. and simply beginning again right here. If you become lost or find yourself distracted, disconnected, just feeling again this body sitting here, tuning in to this breathing experience as we sit and breathe in, breathe out. Neither pushing away nor pursuing the various things that arise in our minds. The experiences that come to our senses, the sounds and the feelings, the thoughts and the images. Just letting them be and giving our attention fully and wholeheartedly to this direct experience of body breathing in, body breathing out. Just right now, just right here, just like this. And for the last 1 or 2 minutes of the sitting period, just again, remembering to reconnect and sustaining that connection so far as you can, renewing it when you need to. And when the bell sounds, just take a moment to listen. Just include that experience as it arises, continues a little while and fades away. So the formal meditation period ends when the sound of the bell has faded into the silence, not when it first arises. So feeling free to take a moment, just adjusting your body, your posture, to bring any ease or relief you need. Noticing what it's like to do that in a kindly way. A sense of what it might be to be caring for the condition of this body that's just right now, we've asked it to sit rather still in a way that might not be always easy for us. Not always easy for our body. And yet, not impossible for us either, without getting fixed on some idea of absolute stillness. I was teaching a day in Oxford yesterday, and someone sort of asked about, but aren't we supposed to be still and not move? And I said, well, most of us can manage that for about 3 minutes before we're dead. Because if this stops moving, we're dead in 3 minutes. So it's not about not moving per se, but about the quality of attention that we bring to being here. And if in any way we notice ourselves putting pressure on our body to not move because I'll disturb someone or because I'm not supposed to, it'll be evidence that I'm a failed or bad meditator, please become aware of that and consider whether you might, if you need to, give your body permission to move at the point where it really needs to. Which doesn't mean at the first moment of discomfort or tiredness we give up and collapse, but that we may have that permission and find what actually is appropriate for us and sustaining. Because the meditation is not the sitting without moving, as I hope I said already. And as we move from sitting towards walking, it becomes clear the meditation is equally about moving, and specifically so in the walking meditation practice. And in fact includes everything in between the two of them, including this bit, where we might not be formally doing it, but we could still be in touch with our body usefully. And that would be a real support to our well-being if we were. And so in walking meditation,